Well, hi everybody again to London Road Baptist Church, and it's great for you to be with us this morning, or I could equally say Thursday evening, when here I am in the presence of Martin and John, who are on sound and camera. And tonight, it's brilliant because you'll be seeing them on Sunday morning. We've got the lovely Angie and the lovely Liz from Witten. And they're both highly respected members of our church, involved in working for the church in the life of Witten, which they're going to share something about what they do with you later. For those who are regular, just let me just say, if you've just stumbled on us and you're not so regular and you've been on YouTube, if you re-click onto us through our church website, just Google London Road Baptist Church Lowestoft, pick up the link there, you'll get a more informed production of this service. It's been an interesting week. We had our church meeting via Zoom on Tuesday evening, and it was absolutely fantastic because we had the privilege of welcoming in five new members. Even in this challenging season, people want to join us. And if this was a normal service, I'd be inviting up Phil and Val Rhodes and shaking their hands, but Phil and Val, it's great to have you as members. I'd then next be inviting Mark and Michelle Keyers up, and I just want to say from the front of the church tonight, it's great, Mark and Michelle, for you to come into membership with us. And finally, we'd be inviting Lawrence Smith up with us. I always remember Lawrence from Lawrence of Arabia when everybody chanted Lawrence, Lawrence. But we can't chant Lawrence this morning. But I can say to you, Lawrence, with a fantastic surname, it's fantastic for you also to be in membership with us. And for those who didn't join us via Zoom for our church meeting on Tuesday, we also shared, and it's in the notices that Phyllis works so hard producing week by week, that we're going to start morning services here again with restricted numbers. All the details are with you, I hope, by now. If not, contact Phyllis. But on the 15th of November, we will have services here again, commencing at 10:30. The week before will be Remembrance Sunday, and that will be the last Sunday where we're recording on a Thursday evening. But as you know, and I know, all that could change depending on what tier we're in and how lockdown works in our area. I just want to read part of the reading which Angie's going to bring later on in our service. And this is what I want to read to you. It's in Luke 18, verses 35 and 36. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard the crowd going by, he asked, "What is happening?" And they told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." What a great name that name is, Jesus. You know, we are Jesus people here at London Road Baptist Church. We believe that this Jesus is God, Son of Man. And our first song, our first hymn, picks up that theme. It's called Jesus. What a beautiful name.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. You're hidden.
What a wonderful name it is. There
Let's pray together. So Lord, we don't only want to sing that Jesus is a beautiful name. We want to pray it to you. We want to talk to you intimately and declare it in worship corporately. Thank you, Lord, that in that name, Jesus, we can find joy, we can find peace, and we can find this thing called grace. We can find truth. We can find love, we can find freedom, we can find warmth. And we can find forgiveness and security and power and love. Help us, Lord, not just to sing those words, but experience them. Experience them as we begin again with you. So we come at the beginning of this time, we say sorry for you. We say sorry to you for all we've messed up doing. But thank you, Lord, that your grace is greater than our fault. And so, Lord, we claim that forgiveness, not in an arrogant way, but the forgiveness that comes from knowing Jesus. Amen. Well, as I said to you earlier, it's a joy today. We're inviting some of our staff and others on the team here at London Road Baptist Church during the recording of these services. And last week we saw Esther And as we said, Esther is our chaplaincy, but tonight it's really good. In a moment, Liz is going to come, and Liz heads up our Witten work here. She'll say something about that at London Road Baptist Church. And she's helped by Angie. And so I'm going to move now to one side, and I'm going to invite Liz up, and then Angie will come up as well.
Good morning. I guess some of you may have seen some of our updates in the church news sheet that have been coming out, but I wanted to give you like a little bit more of an in-depth of what's been happening since we have been shut. Like many people, we shut up quite quickly back in March, and there was not a lot of time for us to chat to people about how our groups were going to end and how we were going to keep in contact with everybody. But we've managed that. We've sent cards, we've had phone calls, we've made cakes and delivered them. My car smelled absolutely amazing. That was really, really nice. We've had emails, we've had lots of contact, more than we probably thought we would have right back at the beginning of that. And it's really, really, really good. We've contacted our children from after school club, and we've been sending out activity packs for them to do as well. And even the other week when I delivered one, I got back in the car and I turned around, and there the children were waving at the window, and it was just such a delight. They were really happy to see me and to receive the packs as well. So thank you to all that help in contributing the making up of those packs. We also, during our holidays, we do FISH, which stands for Food in the School Holidays. And over the summer, this gave us a little bit of a task about how we could still manage to do this. As some of you may be aware, that children have free school meals if they are in a deprived area or don't, or if they are receiving benefits of some kind. So we, along with other churches in the area, like to provide meals. We normally do breakfast, which is quite nice because we get a second breakfast as well when we do that. But this time, in the summer, we provided bags of food for meals, and they came past and they picked them up. At least 50% of those that we saw over the summer holidays were new families. It really gave us a bit of a boost to have conversations, albeit from a socially distant conversation. It was really good just to have those. And next week, we are going to do FISH again, but we are going to do it differently. We are going to provide hot meals for people. So we are going to cook a hot meal in Witten Life, and we are going to deliver it to them at the door from a social distance. Well, they pick it up, sorry, not deliver, because we're going to be in the same building. But anyway, that's what we're planning to do. So please, please remember that in your prayers. We work with other churches in the area over half terms and holidays as well. So there'll be another two churches next week that will be doing these meals. So let's pray for all of those families that we will see over that week. We really miss our volunteers and our group leaders and our helpers and everybody that helps within our work that we do at Witten. And we obviously miss everybody within our group. We are hoping to open up very, very soon, and just starting slowly with a couple of groups that we'll easily manage, and then we can go from there. We are still really, really excited about being part of the Witten community. We believe that God has not finished with us working within this community. And every time I go to the building, and like today I was there by myself, it just makes me feel warm that I'm part of this community, and I work within this community, and I want to help people, and I see people walk past and you wave to them, you smile to them, and you just recognize the people that you just have been seeing for the past 20 years. So we're really, really excited about being right in the heart of this estate. So as I finish this, let's just pray for the work that we do, for the people that we see and the people that help us there at Witten. Close our eyes. Father God, I want to thank you that we are right in the heart of Witten. Thank you that many years ago you gave a vision and we are now part of that vision and we are living that out. I want to thank you for everybody that helps at Witten in some form or another. Thank you for the time that they give up to help other people. Lord, I want to pray for those families that live right central to where we are. I want to pray that they can see us doing your work within that community. And Lord, as I go out and I walk those streets delivering bits and pieces to people's houses, it just feels like it's a big home. It feels like it's some just big holiday camp that we can just all just enjoy. Father, I know that there are trials and tribulations on that estate, and even there was today. But Lord, I want to thank you for the protection that you put over our volunteers. I want to thank you for the protection that you put over our building. And Lord, thank you that Angie and I are still passionate that we can go out and we can do your work within this. So, Father, thank you. Thank you that we saw 50% new families over the summer. And I pray for next week that we will see those families back and that we will be able to see more families that we can just have a connection with and that we can build a relationship with and that they can see you in the work that we do. So, Father, I lift all of this to your name. Amen. And now Angie's going to come and bring us our reading.
Hello, I'm going to read Mark 10:46-52. Then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Next stop, Jericho, Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. Luke 18:35-43. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. We're now going to, following on from the reading I've just done, we're going to watch a small clip of Bartimaeus. Thank you.
Hey, what's happening? What's going on?
Jesus of Nazareth is passing by.
Oh. Jesus! Oh, Jesus! Son of David, have mercy on me!
What do you want me to do for you?
I want to see you again.
Then see. Your faith has made you well.
I can see. I can see. I can see.
Well, hi again, and it's great to be back looking at these encounters with you that Jesus had, and our series is called Encounters with Jesus. And again, preaching with minimal notes, and we're going to look at God's Word together. So this morning, we're going to be looking at the account of this story in Mark's Gospel. And this is another encounter that Jesus had in around the last week of his life, on the way to Jerusalem, on the way to the cross. It's actually the last healing miracle that Mark records. Now, we've got four synoptic gospels. We use that word synoptic. It's a Greek word. It means similar gospels. We've got Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then we've got John's gospel. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke all talk around this incident that happened in Jerusalem. And Mark is a shorter gospel, and it crams in primarily the last 2 weeks of Jesus's life. There's no birth narrative in there. There's no stories of Mary and Joseph. He wants to get to the facts. And this is for Mark's writing, this is a very important story. Now, I've enjoyed reading. I was just sharing with John and Martin a moment ago. I've enjoyed looking through the commentaries and everything, and I've learned some interesting things in my studies this week. And it helped me deal with what I thought were some idiosyncrasies or one or two bits of conflict within the scriptures, because this story crops up, and some versions say when Jesus was approaching Jericho, other versions say when Jesus was leaving Jericho. And what I've learned is, and I want to pass this on to you, there was two cities of Jericho. They were a mile apart. There was the old city of Jericho that was run down, and Herod, King Herod, built the new city of Jericho, which was a mile away from that. So you went into Jericho old, out of Jericho old, into Jericho new, out of Jericho new. And that helps you explain the difference between Matthew, who talks about Jesus departing, and Mark do, and Luke, who talks about Jesus arriving in Jericho. And in fact, there's two blind people. There's a blind person that's healed in old Jericho, and a blind person that's healed in new Jericho. And Bartimaeus was a way of the gospel writer saying, we don't know the name of the first guy, but this guy called Bartimaeus is the second guy healed. And so there it says in the Word of God, then they came to Jericho. This is where Zacchaeus was, if you remember. Just before we got to Jericho, we learnt last week, we had the rich young ruler. And the gospel writers want to parallel what happens with Bartimaeus, what happens with Zacchaeus, what happens with the rich young ruler, because they're central to understanding the Christian gospel message of good news. And it says, Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, Jesus is becoming popular. The crowd are beginning to like him. That's why when he gets 18 miles down the road into Jerusalem, they're all there on Palm Sunday. This is happening just before Palm Sunday. And the Jewish leaders didn't like this. He was attracting people around him. And as he's continuing this journey to Jerusalem, he's got not just his disciples with him, he's becoming a bit of a celebrity. He has gone public with his ministry. Jesus died publicly. and was tried publicly, and this is Jesus now out in the open. And as they was leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. Now here we have a guy, no power, no wealth, a complete opposite to the rich young ruler. He was the other end of the spectrum. And you may be a person that's never really acquired much power. You've never acquired much health. And you've never acquired much wealth. And you struggle daily with bad health. You struggle daily with depression. You struggle daily with an eating disorder. You struggle daily with a drug addict problem. And this Jesus is interested in you. He is not just interested in the respectable people like the rich young ruler. This Jesus is interested in you. And that's why the gospel writers, Mark, Matthew and Luke, want to tell this story. And why do we put Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus? Well, these are before the days of surnames. Surnames, for those who are interested in history, never came in until about the 13th century. But this is a factual story, and Mark wants to say, because he wrote this just some time after this story, you can go and check this story out, because this man called Bartimaeus, who is the son of Timaeus, is still around. We're reading stories 2,000 years later. These were current stories with many of the people who were healed by Jesus still alive. And so Mark's investigated this. He's saying, if you want to do it, go and check it out. And it says that he was begging. Totally dependent on others. Begging. I've never had to beg. And when I go into our streets and I see people selling Big Issue in the alcoves and in the doorways of our properties, even in Lowestoft, I just don't know how to deal with beggars. Some people say, give them something. Others say, well, they may just waste that money. Society was the same then. Some people would have seen Bartimaeus as a worthy cause. Some would have seen him as a scroungerAnd this poor man could do nothing about his situation. So if we can have the next one, Matter. Now this is interesting. When he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he'd heard about Jesus. Maybe he'd heard about the man in old Jerusalem being healed. And so the important thing to look at in this little piece of scripture is he doesn't shout out Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out, Jesus, son of David. Bartimaeus recognized that this Jesus, who had been explaining who he was to the crowd, really was the Messiah. It was a messianic title of Jesus. Hosanna to the son of David. Hosanna to the King of Kings. And Bartimaeus, though he was blind, had been listening to what the crowd had said, may have actually listened about the Zacchaeus situation, may have listened about the rich ruler situation, and understood that this Jesus wasn't just a carpenter from down the road in Galilee in a town called Nazareth. He was the Messiah. And so he uses this messianic title, and one that Jesus doesn't rebuke him for saying. Up to this time, Jesus is often saying to his disciples, keep it quiet, keep it quiet, keep it quiet. But all of a sudden, this blind man declares, the Messiah is here, the Messiah is here. And he realizes that this Messiah can have mercy on him. And this Jesus can have mercy on you 2,000 years later. Maybe he's using similar language to the Psalms. Jesus, the son of David, remember King David? If you like reading the Psalms, what is one of the most popular lines in the Psalms? Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And what does that mean? It means, I don't deserve anything, Lord, but love me. You don't have to be deserving to be a Christian. You have to recognize that this God loves you. And just Mark, in telling this story, says this guy has no redeeming qualities. He's a beggar, he's blind, he's impoverished, he's scrounging. We can say what we want, and he's disabled. And many rebuked him. He was an embarrassment. Do you remember they tried to stop Zacchaeus seeing the Messiah? I want to tell you, if you want to become a Christian, having listened to this, there'll be those who will try and stop you. The world is against Jesus, that's why they nailed him to a cross. And he doesn't say a few rebuked him. Everybody started rebuking. He was an embarrassment. And they told him to be quiet. Well, actually, when you look in the Greek, I don't want to really tell you what it means, but it means shut your gob. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Are you going to listen to the crowd? Or are you going to inquire of this Jesus? But he shouted, I love this. The more they said, shut up, shut up, shut up, Bartimaeus, it says in the Word of God, all the more shouted this messianic title, Son of David, have mercy on me. Do you know it's all right to pray for yourself? One of the things that confuses me about being a minister, that people often say when they're ill, oh, I know somebody who's more ill. Don't worry about me. As if God's love is limited and that he can't heal you and you and you and you and him and him and him and her and her. This God has this awesome power available to him. And this God is interested in you. And it's all right for you to say, Lord, have mercy on me. It's all right for you to pray for yourself. It's all right for you to lay hands on yourself. Have mercy on me. Let's move on. And Jesus stopped. He heard him. The reason Jesus stopped is he heard the man. And to Jesus, what he heard wasn't somebody to tell to shut up. And you might think you don't have a voice and nobody listens to you. But Jesus does. He hears your cry. He's interested in you. He's interested in your needs and in your hurts. Never think that this Jesus doesn't hear you. You are not drowned out by the crowd. You are not drowned out by all the competent and the confidence and the great people. This Jesus hears you. And at this stage, Jesus has authority. He says, call him. He's giving instructions. And so the crowd are beginning to recognize who Jesus is because they're obeying his instructions. And so they call to the blind man, cheer up. They were telling him to shut up a minute ago. That's how fickle the world is. The world always changes, but Jesus is the same. Shows you the hypocrites, doesn't it? Shut up, shut up, shut up. Oh, Jesus, oh, we better change sides now. Come on, come on, Bartimaeus, we're on your side now. Cheer up, maybe. Was Bartimaeus crying? Was he so desperate? There were tears running from his blind eyes. He thought Jesus wasn't going to hear him because he cried. And the Word of God says that Jesus was passing by. And Bartimaeus must have thought, Jesus hasn't heard me. Nobody ever hears me. And Jesus had gone past him. But then he turns. And I believe that when Bartimaeus went before Jesus, there had been tears running down those eyes that could not see. And so the crowd are saying, cheer up. Stop blubbering, Bartimaeus. Jesus has heard you. On your feet, he's calling you. How personal is that? And I just want to say this morning that Jesus is calling you. It doesn't make the difference who else you sat in the room with at home. This is not a story for somebody else. This is a story for you. And this Jesus is offering you this morning the same healing, the same opportunity, the same security as he offered Bartimaeus. He is calling you. And throwing his cloak aside. Why does Mark say that? I'll tell you why Mark says that. Because that cloak is the sum total of Bartimaeus' possessions. Remember the rich young ruler. He couldn't do what Bartimaeus does. Jesus said, give away everything you've got. And he doesn't. We learned that this last week, and the word of God says that the rich young ruler went away sad. It's not the quantity of what you have, it's how you grab it, how you hold it. And what I want you to understand is that although God demands all, he never takes all, and he gives us more than we give him. The word of God says, if our earthly fathers know how to give us good things, how much more does our heavenly father give good things to those that ask? And so he's willing to give everything up. And he jumped to his feet. Do you remember Zacchaeus ran down the road to the Messiah? Bartimaeus jumps to his feet. And I want to tell you that if you don't know Jesus, you need to run or jump. Because this opportunity to know this Jesus is not going to be forever. And Jesus is passing by and your life is passing by. And if you've considered Jesus, you need to bring it to a conclusion. And he came to Jesus. Oh, I love that. Doesn't say he had a religious experience. Doesn't say he went to church. It doesn't say he did penitence. It didn't say he liked the hymns. It says he came to Jesus. That beautiful name we sang about. It's not about a religion. It's about a relationship. And the whole of the gospel story is trying to introduce you to Jesus. And you and me, you may have been hurt by the church in the past. You may have been bruised by Christians in the past. And you may have said to yourself, well, I want nothing to do with church. I want nothing to do with religion. I want nothing to do with Christians. I ain't talking about that lot. I've been bruised by the church. I've been hurt by others. I'm talking about Jesus. Have you come to Jesus? And that's what Mark is asking you, and he's telling us in this story. And then he pins him down. Jesus, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want Jesus to do to you? When push comes to shove, what do you want out of life? Where do you want to end up in eternity? What do you want Jesus to do for you? Do you want to get some more money? Bigger patio? Downstairs loo? New car? What do you want Jesus to do for you? What do you want out of this thing called life? And the blind man said, Rabbi. He recognizes Jesus as a teacher. He recognizes the validity of everything that Jesus says. And that word rabbi is another word for teacher. And he says, I want to see. But that is a huge step of faith, because only the Messiah can do miracles. Only the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords can transform blind people into seeing people. And this is a statement of faith. That all of a sudden Bartimaeus has an engagement with God through Jesus. Oh, he has big plans. There's nothing that this Jesus cannot do. That's what Bartimaeus is saying. This Jesus has stopped and spoke to me, so I'm going to go for it. And I'm going to ask Jesus to heal me. I want to see. What do you want Jesus to do for you? Have you actually asked him? And have you come to him and made yourself vulnerable in the crowd? That's what we're learning this morning. And go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Not your good works. Not your background, not your breeding, not your money, not your prestige. Your faith in Jesus Christ. And as a church, that's what we want to tell you about. The only thing that will make a difference in your life is your faith in Jesus Christ. The only thing that will go on to eternity is your faith in Jesus Christ. And everything else doesn't matter one or two. And it says, immediately. I think if you're struggling this morning, listen to this, there can be a change in your life immediately. If you're a member of this church and you want somebody to pray for you after this service, why not give Bill and I a ring? Because I believe by the power of the Holy Spirit, immediately some of your prayers can be answered this morning. Because this is a real story of a man, about a man called Bartimaeus who lived in Jerusalem, whose father was Timaeus 2,000 years ago. And it's real today as it was then. And he followed Jesus. But it says it followed him along the road. Last week there was no bounds to what the rich ruler could have done. I believe the rich ruler could have been the 13th disciple. But he followed Jesus along the road. Why? So that Bartimaeus could join Zacchaeus back in Jericho and tell other people about what has happened. Now when Luke tells a story, he finishes by saying, do you know what the result of this is? Bartimaeus was filled with joy and he praised God. And all the people of Jericho praised God as well. And all this is in contrast, in theological terms, to the blindness of the leaders of Israel. Although the leader of Israel had eyes that could see, they could never recognize, and they were close to Jesus and all his glory. Hence, they crucified Jesus a week later. So as I draw to a close, I want to say to you, who do you see this morning in this story we've shared? And what do you want him to do for you? The one who hears you, even if you think you are insignificant. The one who we call Jesus, Son of David, the Messiah. I hope you've got something out of this encounter. And as I draw to a close now, we're just going to have a reflective piece of music. It's called The Song of Bartimaeus. And maybe you just want to meditate on the words of this song. And then after there's been a time of meditation, listen to that song. We're going to close with a corporate worship song, Way Maker, Miracle Worker, that talks about the fact that this Jesus still heals today. So, bye to you all. I've enjoyed learning about Bartimaeus this week. And I hope that I can put into practice some of the things that Bartimaeus has taught me. May the Lord bless you and see you all next week. Bye.
I've been sitting here for so long. I'm desperate. I need a change. Sitting on the dusty road for too long. I need a change. I need a change. I've suffered rejection, missed opportunities. I've been in the dark for too long. Lost my dignity, no longer confident. I cannot take this anymore. I want to see Jesus, Son of David. Touch me now. I need a miracle. I need your touch. I need your touch. Jesus, Son of David. Save me now. I need a miracle. Darkness will no longer stop me. I'll take the chance. This is my time. Fear will not break me. Doubt will not drown me. I'll call your name and you save me. Fear will not break me. Doubt will not drown me. I'll call your name.
Darkness, my God, that is who you are.